Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
And thank you to those of you already who have. Good morning to you again, by the way. Welcome along to the 9 till noon show. A caller says, if you think anything will be done to quell animal cruelty at marts, etc., you should look what happened in Northern Ireland. Tamara Broncares was a Department of Agricultural chief vet. She blew the whistle on animal cruelty. She was harassed and eventually fired from her job, but she sued and was awarded $1.25 million in compensation. There's no appetite by anyone in authority in this country to put a stop to wrongdoing. Hi, Greg. As expected, just the usual response from farmers and the minister that they're shocked and knew nothing of these abuses. If they were so concerned, they would have made it our government's business to find out. It's not as if it was only happening these past few months when it's been happening for years. And it's a little bit like, is it, the other controversy that we've been talking about, that maybe we should be expecting a little bit more of an oversight from our ministerial departments and the various committees to actually do regular inquiries to say, anything ongoing at the moment in that sector that requires our attention? Any reports of cruelty or any rumours or rumblings? And let them investigate it and expose it rather than, you know, the media being the middleman exposing issues. And then the overlords, they're all shocked and this is crazy. Let's bring the guilty parties into some sort of a committee or let's have an investigation. Should those sort of checks and balances not be more rigorously enforced so that there aren't these stories for the media to expose? And no one seems to be sort of asking that question. Who was asleep at the wheel? Hi, Greg. Wondering if anyone else is having problems with electricity this morning in the Listillion area. It's going on and off constantly. That's coming in from Maggie. Are you in that area? I think Maggie's more or less probably just wanting to rule out a local issue to her property. So if you are having intermittent outages in the Listillion area, let us know. Massively annoyed to wake up to no power in Stralongford, Cullion this morning. There are 204 houses without power and we were told this won't return until 1 p.m. or even later. Seems to be a recurring thing in this area. The one thing I will say about the predicted times from the ESB, often it comes on much sooner than that. I think normally that's at the latest. That's in my experience, but I'm not hopefully giving you false hope. Right, okay. Greg, here's something that I think listeners should be aware of. My car insurance was due for renewal on the 23rd of last month. The quote from my insurer was €340, which was acceptable to me. I was surprised when on the 22nd I got an email thanking me for remaining with the company and that my renewal documents were attached. I had not renewed and thought it was a mistake. I checked my bank app and found that the renewal fee had been deducted. I rang them to say that I had not renewed, but I was told that I had signed up to automatic renewal. I said I wasn't aware of that, but was told that when you are reading out the prepared script, when you renew by phone, that you agree to automatic renewal. I was not aware. I likened their spiel to the air stewards giving out safety instructions. I wasn't really paying attention. I then found out that they had automatically renewed my house insurance, which was €980, although I had already renewed with another company for €340. Luckily, I had sent them an email to say I wouldn't be renewing that ridiculous quote. On that basis, they refunded my money. Otherwise, I'd be penalised for cancelling the contract. I don't know if automatic renewal applies to all companies, but people need to be careful. I'd be interested to know what Seamus Gunn thinks of the legality of this manner of renewing insurance where there's an element of subterfuge involved. And it's an interesting one. And I can only speak from my perspective as one individual. I just presumed that happened. When I get the documents from the insurance companies, it's effectively, this is what it's going to be. If you do nothing, it's renewed. And for me, if I'm happy enough with the quote, that's handy because the direct debit just goes through. I don't have to talk to anyone and blah, 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 blah. So I thought this was the norm. And until I started shopping around and switching more, I actually really thought it was quite convenient. So as soon as I get my insurance renews normally in January, so as soon as I get the reminder in early December, I look at the quote, shop around, and I either move, and if I can't get an improvement, I stay, and then it does auto-renew. I thought that kind of was par for the course. I didn't think it was something I opted into. I just thought that's the way it was. But for others listening, I think that information you've shared there is going to be very useful. Hi, just checked my bank there. It also took €125 out of my account and I only put 40 in at probably the same station. Another, I just checked my account. The same thing happened to me and I didn't even notice. I do have a direct debit tomorrow, so now I can transfer money. But what if I didn't have funds elsewhere to transfer? This is some of the Go fuel stations where you put your card and put your PIN in, even if you're only getting €30 or €40 of debt, petrol or diesel. 125 is frozen on your account. It doesn't actually go to the company. It's sort of, as someone mentioned earlier on, a shadow payment. It is eventually returned. Sometimes immediately it can take 2 or 3 days. And we're just getting that information out there so no one is caught out. All right. Let us take the bingo numbers. Community Garda information just around the corner. Okay, it is 17 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 11th of July, 2023. It's time now for Community Garda information. I'm delighted to welcome back into studio Garda Grainne Doherty. Thanks very much for joining us again, Grainne.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Okay, we'll get straight into it because your colleagues are investigating the burglary and theft of a vehicle in Buncrana.
Yeah, so this incident happened in the area of Lochview, Buncrana, in the early hours of Wednesday, the 5th of July, so in and around 3:45 a.m. The patio door of a house was opened and entry was gained to the house. Now, the door wasn't damaged. This door had been left unlocked, this patio door. So the keys of the car in the driveway of the house were stolen from within the house, and then the car subsequently was stolen also. It was a black Audi A4, registration number AX66MVU. So the stolen car was immediately driven in the Derry direction, so along the R238. It was then located in Burnfoot Village, so not long after, actually 4:02 a.m, and it had been crashed just in the middle of the village there. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed any sort of suspicious activity in the area of Lochview where the burglary took place to contact Gardaí. And if anybody's seen this vehicle, this stolen car, being driven along the R238, so the Buncrana to Derry Road, between 3:45 a.m. and 4 a.m, if they travelled on that route, and the usual appeal if they had a dash cam, we would ask them to make that footage available to us. We're also interested in hearing about any sightings of a silver Volvo Jeep that was believed to have been observed in that area on the date in question around those hours. So if anybody has any information to pass on, then contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 074-932-0540, or as always, the Garda Confidential lines there on 1800-666-111. And just to make people aware, I know we mentioned this before, but when you contact that line, the Garda Confidential line, you're through automatically to a voicemail service. So, you know, there's no requirement on you to leave your details. You just leave the brief message. That's it. It's totally confidential.
All right. The next appeal may or may not be connected.
Yeah. So Gardaí again, Buncrana, they're appealing for information in relation to an attempted theft from a car. So this happened in the area of Ard Crana. So on the same date, yeah, the early hours of Wednesday, the 5th of July, shortly before 2 a.m. So a resident in that area, they heard a car horn sound and they looked out. They seen a man in the driveway of a house. This man had his hood up, covering his head. He fled the scene. Again, we're interested in any sightings of this silver Volvo Jeep in that area around that time. So the car that was parked in the driveway in question had been unlocked. The man had opened the glove box, but nothing had been stolen from within. So possibly when the horn was activated in the car, he fled. So we're appealing again to anybody who may have seen any suspicious activity in that area on the date and time given to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. And again, if anybody travelled within that area or within the general Buncrana area in the early hours of Wednesday, the 5th of July, who had a dash cam, we would ask them to make that footage available to us.
Okay, car stolen in Letterkenny now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is becoming quite a common appeal every week now in relation to the theft of cars. This car was stolen from the Ard Ban area of the Long Lane in Letterkenny in the early hours of Thursday, the 6th of July, in and around 4:30 a.m. So CCTV has been viewed and has captured two males and they forced the door open. This car was a silver Mazda Demio, partial registration 10KE17. It was later located on that date. Later that day at 2:05 p.m. in Beechwood Grove in Lifford. So if anybody seen again any suspicious activity in the Ard Ban area in and around 4:30 in the morning of July 6th, we're asking them to make contact with us. We're also appealing to anybody who resides in the area of Beechwood Grove, Lifford, just to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167100. You know, they may have seen this car being driven in that area or parked up, abandoned there. And I'll just give the partial reg again. It's a silver Mazda Demio. The partial reg is 10KE17. So any information may be passed on to us in Letterkenny on 9167100 or again the Garda confidentially.
Yep, now this is not, this is a relatively small car. It's the most, not necessarily one of the most commonly known Mazdas. Is it worth reminding, and I'm not sure if it's the case in this car, again, that people are targeting specific types of vehicles that maybe don't have immobilizers, that are, they're easier to steal?
Yeah.
Because you can, after the fact, get an immobilizer fitted, but as you say, this is happening on such a regular basis, maybe no harm to remind people just to check what security features their vehicle have and if they need to be upgraded or looked at. This is no fault to the car owner, of course, that maybe it's something they need to look at. Because, as I say, this is happening on a pretty regular basis at this point, Grainne.
Of course, yeah. And there's a rising trend. And you would notice, even on the weekly radio slot here, there's a lot of Japanese import cars being stolen. And some of these cars just don't have the security features that other cars do have. So if you have one of these cars, just check the security features. Perhaps get a steering lock or an immobilizer, you know, just check what security features it has and maybe get them enhanced if possible.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to reiterate that is the people who are stealing these cars know. So we have to empower ourselves with the knowledge, don't we? Because they clearly know what cars may or may not be more vulnerable. I'm not saying that's the case with that Mazda, but it's just worth us all just double-checking what features our vehicle has. Right, let's head back north. A burglary being investigated now.
Yeah, this burglary happened. It was actually at a vacant property in the area of Gartnesky, Burnfoot. So it happened between July 6th and Thursday, July 6th and Sunday, July 9th. So the window of a garden shed at that property was smashed. The lock was removed from the garage door. It wouldn't appear that anything was taken from the shed. So we appeal just to others living in that area just to contact Gardaí in Buncrana if they observed any suspicious activity between those dates. 9320540 is the number for the guards in Buncrana.
All right, OK. Now, an investigation into a burglary in Remelton now.
Yeah, this burglary happened in around 11. Well, CCTV was checked, so it's fairly precise the time, 11:04 p.m. on Saturday, the 8th of July. So this happened at a garage premises in Drummond, Remelton. So a large quantity of alloy wheels were stolen from the premises. So the lock was cut from the gate in order to gain access to the garage. So given the amount of the alloys that were stolen, the vehicle used by the suspects would likely have been a van or maybe some sort of vehicle towing a trailer. A lone male wearing a light-coloured top, gloves and a balaclava was captured on CCTV. He's believed to have left the scene in the direction of Tully Graveyard or Ballyar football pitch. So information sought from anybody who was in the Drummond Ballyar area on Saturday night, the 8th of July, between and around maybe 10:45 and 11:15 p.m. Especially those who had a dash cam were interested in receiving the footage from them or anybody who might have noticed any suspicious activity. And this was the Saturday night of the Lennon Festival. There was quite a crowd around that area. So we're hopeful that somebody might have some information that might assist us with this investigation.
Yeah, it's just after dark, and as you say, a van or possibly a vehicle drawing a trailer. Right, OK. Criminal damage in Clonmally's. Clonmally's the next appeal.
Yeah, this one happened on Friday the 7th of July. In around 11:10 p.m, Gardaí in Buncrana were notified that a criminal damage incident had just occurred at a house in the area of Crossroads, Claggan, Clonmany. So the incident's believed to have happened between 10:45 p.m. and 11:10 p.m. So a panel in the back door of the house was smashed. The house alarm was then activated. Gardaí were notified. No entry was gained to the house, and we're just appealing to anybody who travelled in that area between those times, who had a dash cam, to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana. And if anybody noticed again any suspicious activity in that area, please pass the information on to Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
All right, okay. And the last one is a bit of a strange one. This was on Sunday last.
Yeah, this is quite a worrying one, really. Yes, an unusual one. So Sunday, the 9th of July, a driver, they were travelling along the Eilich Road in Buncrana in and around between 3:10 p.m. and 3:15 p.m. So this driver, they were approaching the traffic lights to travel onwards onto the Cockhill Road. They slowed when they approached the traffic lights. This motorcyclist pulled up alongside the car on the driver's side. The motorcyclist was irate. They were revving the engine and shouting at the driver. They started to repeatedly punch the car. So this driver then obviously was terrified, drove onwards towards the Cockhill Road, and the motorcyclist followed alongside the car and persisted with this behaviour, shouting and punching the car. The driver then turned off to travel in the direction of Cairn Donna. So she stopped the car at Umbercam. The motorcyclist then bent the wing mirror backwards on the car before taking off. The motorcyclist left in the direction of Cairn Donna. They carried on down the road. So we're appealing to anybody, look, if anybody observed this, if they travelled on the Aileach Road, Cockhill Road, or if they turned off there at Umbercam to head in the direction of Carndonagh. If anybody witnessed it, we'd appreciate if they would make contact with the Gardaí in Buncrana. Again, a dash cam footage would be very helpful to us. If anybody travelled along any of those routes, the Cockhill to Umbercam on towards Drumfries, Carndonagh, or indeed if they travelled from Carndonagh to Buncrana and they had a dash cam, we would ask them to make that footage available to us.
Yeah.
It's quite a terrifying incident for us.
And prolonged as well, which is, you know, you might see a bit of road rage out and about, but this is a sort of a prolonged thing. And there's damage to the vehicle. It's a crime. And someone saw it. It's just a case of that person or persons making that information available to the Gardaí, because they've gone home and said, you wouldn't believe what I saw today, but it's something that's being investigated and the guards need to hear that information. Okay, so we're all sharing the space, including those on horseback. We do come to this from time to time, and you want to give it an airing again today, Grainne?
Yeah, I suppose we don't. It's not really a topic we discuss that often, but I did receive correspondence actually a couple of weeks ago from a man, and he's part of a horse riding group within the local area here. And this person, he expressed concerns just really in relation to the danger faced by the horse riding group when they're out and about on the roads. He did say in his letter that this group try to avoid the public roads, you know, insofar as is possible. But from time to time, when they're going up and down these trails, they have to enter the public road space, you know, to get from one trail to another. So he explained various dangerous scenarios that occur regularly when the group are out hacking on the public roads. So I just want to outline a few simple steps that motorists should take just to keep themselves, the horse and the rider safe should they encounter a similar situation while out driving. So the first thing is reduce your speed, be patient, be prepared to stop. The person on horseback, of course, they have a much better view of oncoming traffic. So obey their hand signals. You know, if they're giving you a hand signal, they have a better view than you have in your car coming behind them. Keep a safe distance between your vehicle and the horse. When overtaking the horse and rider, don't drive too closely behind the horse and ensure to leave at least the width of your car between your vehicle and the horse when passing. Always be careful when passing, as a horse may startle. Don't use your lights or horn in a way that may blind or startle the horse. This could cause the rider to lose control of the animal, and some horses are startled by the use of air brakes also, so that's just something for maybe lorry drivers, you know, to be aware of, or bus drivers. And when you have passed the horse, drive away slowly. You know, don't tear off once you've overtaken the horse. You know, just drive it in a slow manner. I put a post on the Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page yesterday with tips for people should they encounter horse riders out on the roads. The main concerns are that I suppose a lot of motorists, including myself, maybe you're not. It's not something you encounter that often on the road. You know, you don't. From time to time, you might. But sometimes his concerns were some drivers are coming at speed and they continue to overtake the horse and the rider at speed. Some of them through, and he did state this in his letter, he said it's not out of malice, it's more out of ignorance, you know.
Not knowing the right thing to do.
And some drivers, while they're overtaken, then give a beep, you know, to the, and that might startle a horse.
It could be a courteous beep,
through no harm of their own. They're trying to be polite, but this could startle a horse. You know, the horse rider could lose control of that animal as a result of that. So it's just for people to be aware. It's a shared space, and just to be aware of what to do.
It just needs to be nicer to each other. A bit patient, think on each other a bit more.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, listen, Grainne, thank you very much, as always. And as Grainne mentioned, that information is available for you on the Garda Síochána Facebook page. You'll be able to watch back to this item as well.
Can I just say one more thing, Grainne? You know me, I always have something else to say.
No problem. One last thing.
But I just noticed the past few weeks, the appeals, and this is in no way proportion and blame to anybody who's been a victim of any sort of crime, but, you know, it just would appear from a lot of the appeals that a lot of doors are being left unlocked. Yeah. A lot of house, patio doors, front doors. People are going to bed, they're leaving them unlocked, car doors, you know. We would just appeal to everybody, please, you know, these people are out there, they're opportunists, they're going to seize the opportunity. Possibly if your door's locked, they're going to force the door, to, you know, if they want to get in, they may still try to get in, but we would appeal to people, just don't make their life easier, you know, make sure that everything's locked up before you go to bed, lock up all your windows, doors. Don't leave your car keys on show. Unlock your car, even if it's in your driveway. People sometimes might feel safe. You know, their car's at home. It's in their backyard or their house. It's in their driveway. These people will take any opportunity they can to get into your property. So please don't make life easy. Make sure everything's secure.
Indeed. Okay. Great advice, Grainne, as always. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. As I mentioned, or I was going to mention, the Community Guard information will be available for you to watch back again on our Facebook page and on Garda Síochána's Facebook page as well, in Donegal, of course. And it's back with you live on the radio tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week, after the 10 o'clock news on Tuesday. All right, Grainne, thanks once again.
Thanks, Greg.
Back shortly. Just to remind you, coming up just after 11 o'clock, if all goes to plan in terms of timings and what have you, we'll bring you the opening statements from Mr. King and Tubridy as they address the first of two committees. And much of what's going to be interesting and what will be quoted tomorrow will be in those opening statements. Quite interesting. People have had sight of it already, and some of the claims that they're going to make today have already been disputed by RTE management, which is really quite bizarre. But anyway, we will bring that to you, audio for you on radio. If you're watching the live stream, you'll be able to see that as well. As I say, all going to plan in terms of timings and what have you. We're joined on the programme now by Barrister Michael O'Doherty. A very good morning to you, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you on board. Okay, I think this comes in cycles about influencers and their finances and what they have to declare or don't have to declare. It comes in waves, and I think it's back to the fore again, particularly in the context of the recent controversies at RTE. So what is the law governing social media influencers in how upfront do they have to be that they're promoting or pushing a product for payment?
Yeah, it is back in the news, Greg, and you said specifically because of RTE and these various issues. The law is, a lot of people are kind of slightly confused about the law, just kind of basically in terms of advertising and why influencers are used and what their power is. Advertisers traditionally have always been able to just advertise products on television or radio or things like that to a very wide audience, but they didn't really know their audience. They didn't know if it was the message was landing with them, and they didn't get direct feedback. So there was that on the one hand. And then on the other hand, there was word of mouth advertising, which is what advertisers always like. They prefer the word of mouth. They feel it's more personal, it's more direct, and it's a better form of advertising. The difficulty with word of mouth tend to be one-on-one. You know, family and friends would get recommendations from a particular person who had used a product or service. And the advantage of influencers and why they're so popular is that they're a kind of hybrid. They have a very wide audience. Many of them have hundreds of thousands of followers on social media. But at the same time, they're considered to have this personal connection with their followers. And for that reason, the advertisers like using them because they feel like they're talking to people individually. They can gauge feedback straight away from the influencers if they offer discounts or codes or anything like that. So they understand how well their advertising is working. The difficulty with this is that in traditional advertising, it was the advertiser, the brand itself, that dictated how the ad was made. With influencers, it is the social media account holder themselves very often that entirely create the ad and create the message. So the legal onus is on them to not to breach copyright, not to use any images that they don't have copyright over, not to defame anybody. And most importantly, what you referred to there, to make it clear that the message that they are giving is a commercial communication and is not them just giving a friendly recommendation. Mm. Because that falls foul of consumer law. There is the Consumer Protection Act 2007, and that's the central piece of legislation here at the moment.
In terms of the reality of the situation, so say I'm a radio or TV personality and I'm running around a shop picking up bottles of wine and going, oh, when I'm in here, I love this one and blah. It doesn't matter if I've never been in there before. If I say I tried this cream here and I have to say, you know, within days, my skin looked like I was 25 again. I may never have used that cream in the past. There is stronger rules governing how you might advertise in a newspaper or on the radio or on the TV in terms of claims. Is there any legal responsibility in that regard as to the truth and the facts of what someone is being paid to advertise?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, Greg, legally, if you just like something and you say, you go on your Instagram account, for example, and say, I really love this, I recommend that people buy it, there is no problem with that whatsoever, so long as you are not getting a commercial benefit from doing so. If you go on a holiday and you say, I love this resort, if you buy a pair of shoes and you say, I love this pair of shoes, everybody's happy, there's no problem. The problem occurs when you are being paid to do that. Mm. When a brand reaches out to you and gives you a pair of shoes, a pair of sandals, for example, and you wear them and you plug them on your Instagram account and you say, I love these sandals, they go with me everywhere, they're fabulous, I recommend them to everybody. And you omit to say that the reason you're saying that is because you're being paid to do so. That's when the problem occurs, because that falls foul of misleading advertising under the Consumer Protection Act. Unfair and misleading advertising is illegal. It is strictly forbidden under the 2007 Act. Now, the problem, as you can guess from an act which was created in 2007, is that it was enacted long before influencers occurred. So it was aimed kind of more towards traditional advertising. And the problem is that the law has been slow to catch up with this new form of advertising where people create their own content. And sometimes the message is a bit mixed, you know. Sometimes they might say, oh, listen, you know, I've been asked by this brand to reach out to you, or I'm doing a bit of work with this brand. And they don't make it explicitly clear that there is a commercial relationship, and that essentially why they're plugging it and why they like it is because there's a financial benefit to them to do so.
Now, I presume it's quite simple. If I'm a contractor for a major organisation and I'm paid to plug a product, I probably have a limited company as well, or whatever way it's set up, and that money would have to go through the books and you'd pay tax on it, you know, because you're the business effectively. Now, I presume, I mean, there is the responsibility to do that. And because it's probably high profile, the tax man's going to have a look at that. But say, for instance, I'm giving a gift, you know, I'm given access to something, that there's no actual exchange of money as such. And in some cases, nothing is asked in return. Like, is that an income that I have to declare? Is there a tax liability on that?
You're right. That's a very interesting question. And I think this is one of the central problems. You're absolutely right. If a brand pays you to plug something online, there's no controversy about the fact that that is income and you have to declare it. You are probably self-employed. You declare it in your end of year tax returns. If, however, for example, you are given a free holiday, and but you are given it in return for posting 3 or 4 videos while you're on holiday saying how much you like the resort, or you are given a free kitchen and you take a video of it being installed and you plug the people who install it and things like that, no money actually changes hands, but you get the benefit of something that would have cost you money otherwise. A lot of people are confused about this. This is the equivalent of the benefit in kind tax, whereby you get a company car and you have to pay tax on it, okay? You, by law, have to declare anything that you got for free or even at a discount in your end of year tax returns as though you had paid for it. So if you get a 5,000 euro holiday and you don't pay anything for it, that is the equivalent of 5,000 euro of income that you have to declare in your end of year tax returns. The law is quite clear about that. I think the enforcement of it is not quite so clear. The degree to which influencers are chased or investigated for this is not clear. I certainly haven't seen anything in the papers about somebody being caught, but I suspect a lot of influencers who do this are unclear about this and think, oh, well, if I'm not getting paid, it's no big deal. There's no tax implication. They're very well, maybe.
But if I then publicly claim that, yes, I was given this holiday, but it was just, they just gave me the holiday. They never really asked me to talk about the holiday. I maybe have been seen on holiday. I might have posted that I was on holiday, but I never, you know, they never asked me to. So it's not really an income, it's a gift.
Yeah, it'd be a bizarre brand, Greg, that gave you free holidays that expected nothing in return.
Apparently it happens, Michael. Apparently yeah, it happens.
I think the influencers might claim that there was no obligation. I think if the revenue decided to get tough, they would approach the brand and say, was there a contract? Show us the communications between you. Show us what was discussed and was promised. I think you'll have difficulty getting away with that. As I said, very often, you know, and I know for a fact in the publishing industry, free products get sent out to offices and people all the time, and there is no obligation. face creams, makeup, anything like that. They just get sent out more in the hope that the person will post about it. There's no contract, there's no agreement. That's absolutely fine. It's when it becomes a bigger thing, as I said, like a free kitchen or a car, the use of a car, for example. They gave me a car and they asked for nothing in return. Really? Do you honestly expect us to believe that? Brands don't operate in that way. There is a clear expectation that there is going to be something in return. And that's where the difficulty arises.
And finally, Michael, you know, I mean, the curtain's been pulled back on this influencing this influencer situation a few times now at this point. I mean, are advertisers at any point, do you think, or companies at any point going to think it's kind of a bit of a toxic space to get into here now, because people are awake to the fact that maybe they're being sold a pop? Or I personally don't think that's the case, because I think we've got incredibly short memories. And as you say, the word of mouth is a really valuable asset. But I mean, do you think people might be looking at their advertising budgets and you know, there's already a pullback from some social media and online stuff. And you know, do you think they will look at that and go, maybe the influencer scene's a wee bit toxic at the moment?
I think, Greg, I think the problem would occur if the brand became damaged. Mm. You know, if it's just the influencer doing it themselves, does the brand really care? If they're getting the response, if they're getting the sales, they couldn't care less whether or not realistically, you know, the influencer is in trouble or is cutting corners or is being a bit fast and loose with tax or anything like that. The problem occurs, as it does in the UK, where influencers are named and shamed. We don't have that in Ireland. The Advertising Standards Authority publishes people who breach the guidelines on their website, but it doesn't name and shame them in the media. In England, they do. And when the influencers are named and shamed, the brand gets named as well. And it tends to kind of get lumped in with, you know, an appearance of wrongdoing. And that's the situation when it says, well, maybe we don't want to deal with that particular person, you know. But I think until the naming and shaming occurs, the brands are perfectly happy. Clearly, they are getting the response. Clearly, they like the use of influencers. Now, in tandem with other, it hasn't replaced traditional advertising, but is now a very important element. And unless there is kind of blowback against the brand itself, I don't see any problem from their end.
And very finally, in the interests of the consumer, but also, I suppose, to level the playing field, the Consumer Protection Act of 2007, if it's not already being reviewed and looked at, certainly needs some attention.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know what? You're absolutely right about the playing field. I think the problem has always been that traditional media, newspapers, radio stations, magazines, have always felt that there are guidelines aimed at them that they have to follow, whereas the social media influencers, it's the Wild West. They can do what they want. I think if it was seen that the law was being applied equally to everybody, then there would be no issue. The Advertising Standards Authority have said they are going to update their guidelines. They're supposed to be bringing them out in the coming months, aimed specifically at influencers. We'll wait to see if that happens.
Listen, really enjoyed chatting to you. Thanks so much for your time. Have a lovely
day. No problem, Greg.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's Michael O'Doherty. He is a barrister, just running through the rules and regulations that do or don't cover influencers and also their tax liabilities that may or may not apply to them. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Joined on the programme now by Dr. Jared Rorty, who is a vet. Good morning to you, Jared. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Right, your reaction to the RTE expose yesterday, or sorry, broadcast last night. We had a reaction from the IFA already. Just, it'd be interesting to get your views as a vet and your take on it all.
Well, I was totally horrified by the behaviour, and that's absolutely scandalous and can't be tolerated. But the one thing that I should emphasise is that that programme showed no balance. That behaviour must be such a minority. I mean, I'm regularly in the 5 marts in this county, Donegal Towns, Tinnoradhoo, Mulford and Cairn. The standard of animal welfare is incredibly high. We are world leaders in animal welfare. Now, if you go into any nursing home or if you go into hospitals, you go into any businesses, if you go into enough of them, you will eventually find the 0.001% where you put bad behaviour. And that bad behaviour highlighted by RTE was, I no way can condone it. Totally condemned.
Was it put in context enough for you, Jared? Do you know what I mean?
No,
I suppose
it's not. it's not put in context. What you have to understand is what's happening in RTE. So the, first of all, the timing was obviously to deflect from the Ryan Tuberty. But also there's an agenda, there's a liberal left agenda with an RTE that don't want us drinking milk. They don't want us eating beef. They don't want us milking cows. They want Ireland to be some sort of a great big forest where everybody's going to be living in high-rise flats. And I keep talking about the tremendous societal benefit of having family farms and people working in farms. So, no, I don't condone for a moment what happened. But what you need to emphasise is that is in no way reflective of the incredibly high animal welfare standards in Ireland. I mean, I'll give you an example. Over 40 years ago, I was sailing on boats from leaving Greenore in County Louth to go to Egypt with cattle as a vet when no other country in the world was requiring a vet to actually travel out with the cattle. And it was like going on out on a cruise ship. There was, I remember one particular sailing, 1,222 cattle, 22 Filipinos and Dutchmen and myself. So the standards overall in Ireland are actually way higher than anywhere else in the European Union or in the world. And yes, and it was right to be highlighted, but it's not in context. This was just an attack on Irish farming, purely to, as I say, deflect from the Ryan Tuberty and again to deliver the RTE agenda, which is an anti-people milking cows.
Well, I put it to the IFA rep who didn't bite, but, you know, speaking to people out there last evening, in fairness now, it was prior to the broadcast, and there was a sense that, you know, when you're having a national debate about reducing the national herd, about, you know, tough decisions that will affect farmers and farmers sort of pushing back on those. I mean, as I say, I presume it was a coincidence, but it's a nice little piece to put out there.
Very much so. And you have to understand the agenda where this is coming. I worked in Saudi Arabia. At what stage, I worked for the Crown Prince Matib work, and I was actually looking after his horses, but I would have known a lot of the vets that were working there and the dairy herds out there as well. So let's look at the carbon impact for milk and cows in Saudi Arabia. They import their alfalfa hay shipped by sea from Kentucky. They bring their maize and their soya shipped by sea from Brazil, all to come to Saudi Arabia, where they then desalinate the water in order to have water for the cows. So the argument is somehow or other that Ireland, which produces grass with water in abundance, you can see that from yesterday, we should stop producing cow, we should stop producing milk, we should stop producing beef to allow countries with a far, far higher carbon impact. Now, the problem is when people calculate the carbon and talk about the Irish national herd, when oil is produced in Saudi Arabia, the carbon impact of that oil is not attributed back to Saudi Arabia. It's attributed to where the petrol or where the diesel is consumed. Mm-hmm. When we produce beef in Ireland, 90% of the beef is consumed elsewhere. 90% of the milk powder goes out to China and so on. And that is where the carbon impact should be attributed to. But you have to stand back and look at where a lot of these guys are coming from. They don't actually want us farming.
And I think, too, we can have the argument, Jared, and it's often made, you know, yes, but everybody has to do their bit. But you could make a very strong argument to say, yeah, we're doing our bit. Let us produce the milk and the beef, because look at how we're doing it. Let others do the bit who are doing it with a far greater impact on the environment, unless we're talking about not drinking milk or eating beef at all. So in a way, our farming practices and continuing to do them is actually doing our bit if it displaces the practices that are more damaging in other parts of the country, the world,
Listen, you've hit the nail on the head. It makes an awful lot more. Take your sake of argument, the milk is produced in the Netherlands. That milk is produced and massive feedlots where they have a thing called zero grazing, where the cows actually stand in all day and the alfalfa is brought over from the States, and then similarly they bring maize and so on over from South America. But you have to actually scrape the surface and look at these guys that talk about reducing the national herd. What they're really talking about is that they don't actually want us eating beef and they don't want us drinking milk. Now, they can't run the sort of ads that they do in England where you see in the signs of double-deckers, you know, meat is a murder and, you know, taking milk is taking babies from the calves. So they realise that's not going to work with the Irish public. So they have to do it in a more sinister way. And one of the sinister ways is, you know, trying to challenge us unfairly on welfare or try the carbon argument. And as I say, the carbon argument just does not stack up, because our cows, from a welfare point of view, they're out there grazing grass. We have a really, really low carbon footprint in terms of what we actually produce. Now, in terms of the expansion in the dairy here that has occurred in the last 10 or 15 years, all we are trying to do and all we're starting to do is get to where we should have been 40, 50 years ago had we not had an artificial quota imposed on us by the European Union. Nobody is talking about that debate. So what happened in the European Union, because we were so underdeveloped as a country, because economically that we hadn't progressed in the 50s and 60s, everyone else had become way more advanced in dairy production. Then we drew a line in the sand and says, right, there's a quota. Thus far shalt thou go no further. Nobody else is allowed to expand. So what has actually happened in the last 10 years in Ireland is we're only starting to catch up with other countries. Mm. But you have to go back and look at the real agenda of RTE. And the real agenda of RTE is some sort of a vegan agenda.
Well, let me, Jeremy, you've made that point. Farm. So you've obviously given this some consideration. So EU-wide, that agenda does not necessarily exist because that we are negotiating deals that would actually see us importing cattle from Brazil potentially, right? So the aim is not to absolutely at this time anyway to eliminate, you know, beef consumption, milk consumption, but there is definitely a drive for us to reduce our production here. What is driving that? Where is the pressure coming from? Or is it simply that the farmers are seen as the easiest option to reach our targets across the board?
Us farmers are just seen as the easy target. I will give you a case in point of what we were doing last week. We had an organic inspection last week from the Irish Organic Association, and the young fellows were home from school and they went out with the inspector. We had Galloway cows grazing 2,000 foot above sea level on Lavamore Mountain. Tremendous biodiversity for flora and our fauna. We produce organic beef. Very, very little carbon impact. So in terms of what we can do and in terms of what we can achieve nationally to reduce carbon, it's very easy to have a go at farmers. And I would be very critical of us farmers generally because we are far too meek and we're far too modest in actually fighting our case and saying, hold on a second. We fulfill a massive societal role in farm families. We provide a tremendous role in terms of the economy. And this argument that somehow or other by just devastating the national herd, it's an easy way to say, yeah, that's it solved. We've got a carbon problem and we have solved the carbon problem by having a go at farmers.
Yeah, but how do you counteract the likes of a programme last night, you see? Because everything's an information war now. Well, war, it's a bit dramatic to call it that, don't get me wrong. But everything that happens
I am not for a moment defending what happened.
No, I'm not saying you are. No, I'm not saying for a moment you are.
Those people should be prosecuted. But you have to look at it in the greater scheme of things. And in the greater scheme of things, and this is where there was no balance from RTE at all, if you went into Rafoe Martin Thursday or into Milford Martin Saturday or Cairn Martin Monday, you would see incredibly high standards of animal welfare. And this is the difficult thing because, you know, as I mentioned to you, if you went into enough nursing homes, you would eventually find 1 in 1,000 where standards fall. So you have to stand back and say to RTE, there was no context in what you did. There was no context in terms of you're actually saying that our animal welfare standards are acknowledged worldwide as being world leaders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen, it's always an interesting conversation. Thanks for your time this morning. Have a lovely day.
Brilliant. Let's talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. That's Dr. Gerard Rorty, who is a vet. And that's just as a bit of a balance, bit of a reaction to that show that was broadcast last night. Not to say that I don't think anyone would condone such behaviour or not be aghast by it. But I think the conversation is just how reflective of things. All right, coming up after 11 o'clock, we're hoping to bring you the opening statements from Noel Kelly and Ryan Tubridy I think it's Committee Room 1. We'll stay with it for a quarter of an hour anyway, because their statements, really, all the interesting information, I think, is going to be in there. So if you want to watch that, by the way, you can hop on to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, and you can watch it there as well. But on Radio Land, you're going to be listening to the audio across our Facebook pages and also by watching live. So if you want to hear, stay with us, hear the opening statements. We've a lot to get through in the last hour as well, so we might have to cut away if they ramble too much. But in any case, it's just to give you a sense and a sample as to what defence is being offered, because it's, as I said earlier on, RTÉ are already, because they had sight of these statements, are already issuing statements rejecting the contents therein. Very interesting.